everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, driving home after the show, you know, in your car thermometer, I kept watching the temperature, you know, climb as I went through Midtown. And, you know, it was up to like 117, 118. I said to myself, no, it's not going to hit 120, is it? It did at Grant and Alvernon at 1 o'clock.
That was in part the heat island effect.
Oh, yeah,
of all
course.
Of the asphalt,
it was the heat island. But I'll tell you, when you see 120
that's not good.
I mean, come on. We are off and running on the midway point here, midday on Thursday, August the 7th, which will probably go down as the hottest temperature ever recorded in the month of August. They're saying it could go up to about 113, somewhere in that vicinity. And the way we are right now, I think it was like last night, there was one of the meteorologists was saying, I think it was Channel 4, that he had never seen 100 degrees at 10 o'clock. In Tucson before. So that used to happen. That was always, you know, we'd always say, oh, that's what's going on up in Phoenix. Well, folks, we own it now. It's part of Tucson, Arizona, in a time of climate change. We are in the Green Things Zilcalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Center in central Tucson. We have 5 radio stations under one roof. One of the stations had kind of a celebration here the other day. The Drive, very highly rated radio station, celebrating their 6th anniversary this week. So we're all here, 5 radio stations, a lot of radio people. It's great. At 10:30, KVOI, Tucson's Voice for trusted live news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening during the noon hour at buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. And also on my website, if there's a program you missed, we've got you covered. We've got podcasts that go back to when we first launched our radio program after my 22 years on Channel 6, hosting Arizona Illustrated. We started the radio show first week of January 2011. And that program, along with all the others, is available at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome the Ward 3 Tucson City Council member, Kevin Dahl, who I'm sure is happy the primary election is over. And it appears that Mr. Dahl has won re-election, a very close election. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. A little exhausted. It's been a week, but yes,
I bet.
Great to see you.
Yeah, so we've got probably what, maybe as many in your particular ward, maybe 800 to 1,000 votes to be counted.
Don't know exactly, but about that number, yes.
Yeah, you think we'll have them all pretty much by tomorrow, maybe?
By tomorrow afternoon, a majority of those votes should be tallied. People who have problems with their ballot, mm-hmm. that they need to be cured, they can't read the signature, that you've been called and you need to come in. There'll be a few of those because people can come in until 5 p.m., but that's mm-hmm. the cutoff. So mm-hmm. by Monday, for sure, we'll know the absolute count.
Were you surprised the vote was so close?
I was surprised at first, yeah. And trying to figure out why it was so close, right. Where in my mind I was going to do a landslide and have a huge mandate.
Of course.
I think we all think that all
the
time. The
night before the election, that's the way you went to sleep,
yeah.
Thinking that, oh, yeah. My gosh, going to be a great victory party.
And when I saw the numbers, I thought at first that it was too close to call, but
right.
It's just a close call.
Yeah.
The numbers work out that way. And how I understand it is Ward 3 has there's a lot of people who are frustrated in Ward 3, either by potholes, garbage being dumped, the unsheltered walking around, the fentanyl epidemic, the vacant house next door that's turned into a drug dealing den. And with the Ward 3 office, though, we do very good work and we try to help solve people's problems. We can't do it all. And maybe we haven't been as responsive as I hoped we have been in some cases. And there are people who just don't agree with the policies that I mm-hmm. that I advocate for. So it's fair. People get to decide. and we'll see the votes counted. And the numbers that I see, I declared victory, and we'll know for sure in a couple of days.
Let's talk about the big story. And you were the first on the council to say no to Project Blue. In fact, you said it on this radio show. And then you took some action by saying, you know, let's put this up for a vote now. And really, time is valuable. Do we need to keep going over this? And you said, let's put it up for a vote.
Yeah,
and that's what happened.
Let's kill it, I said. And thank you. It was a month ago. I had just met with the developers.
And right.
So I understood how many of my questions.
Seems like many, many months ago. Seems like we've been talking about Project Blue forever. Yeah, go ahead.
I just met with the developers, and they weren't able to answer a lot of my questions. They promised to answer them all before we could vote. And we had some experts look at that information, and then the public started weighing in, and the city, rightfully so, did some public engagement, and there was overwhelming majority of people who agreed with my analysis that, hey, that's way too much water to invest in this one industry that returns very few jobs and not enough back into our economy. It's not part of our city, not part of our culture. Plus, the energy is enormous. It would probably drive up people's bills.
Mm-hmm.
TEP told us they'd have to build a new fossil fuel power plant. So it seems, why do you build an industry that you have to cool and that takes up a lot of water in a dry desert where water is precious? And
It didn't seem compatible with our area, did it?
No. And there was a lot of secrecy involved. There was a lot of NDAs and the county had NDAs. We had NDAs.
The non-disclosure agreements. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. The Chamber of Commerce. So there was information that we weren't able to get. And only by a slip up did we know who the eventual end user would be. And that apparently would be Amazon Web Services.
Mm-hmm. So the mayor brought this up in her remarks yesterday, and Tim Steller kind of echoed some of that in his column today in the Arizona Daily Star. By the way, Tim will be my media co-host tomorrow. We always try to bring in someone to join me in the questioning of a newsmaker. And the newsmaker tomorrow, Kevin, will be Chris Mays.
Oh, great.
The Arizona
Coming attorney. Down from Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, she'll actually going to do it telephonically.
Oh.
But still, it's good. It's a good get for us, as
yes.
they say.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tim was talking about, and the mayor brought this up yesterday. So, you know, we said no. The city said no to this type of economic development. But this is a good learning lesson, isn't it, about maybe what do we want to say yes to?
Yeah. And I think we all have ideas, and people should contribute and help us form a better policy of who we're reaching out to. It's easy to reach out to a big industry because you have a big win. We get a lot of taxes and a lot of jobs. But maybe we need a lot of smaller ones and integrated into housing. The idea that industry is here and your housing is here and you have to commute. I think there's opportunities for us to be creative and be more Tucson-like in what we welcome into our community.
Mm-hmm. And there's a plan B. Well, everybody's got a plan B, I guess. If you're in business, you pretty much need a plan B. And that plan B is maybe go to Marana or somewhere else. Would Tucson Water necessarily, would the council have some say over Tucson Water providing water to a center like that if it was out of the city limits?
If it's out of the city limits, we have nothing to say about it. If it's outside of the Tucson Water Service Area, which goes outside of the city limits in some areas, parts of Marana are under that, we would have something to say on. If it's inside those city limits. Why this was coming to the city is it was an unimproved, in unincorporated Pima County, and Pima County was selling this land to them. They couldn't get water. The only way to get water, if you're outside the service area, is to be annexed. And it was situated so that it's adjacent to Tucson. And that was the process we were going to go through with a development agreement, which would have a lot of things that had been negotiated. It wasn't a very good deal for us.
Mm-hmm.
We would have had to do a whole lot more negotiating before it would be something that I think would be good for Tucson.
How about city staff? Do they deserve kudos for at least trying to get the information on this out?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think we're going to, we should look, as Pima County is looking, at our policy of NDAs and when we inform the decision makers, and maybe an earlier no, for instance, on the part of Pima County would have been good. They just said yes without having a lot of information.
Yes,
they had
they
no information about the energy and some idea about the water. But there are concerns about emissions. These facilities use backup diesel generators, and it's not the diesel generator that you have in your garage. It's huge, big industrial ones that emit a lot of pollutants and are loud.
Mm-hmm.
There's a concern about the noise. There's a humming that in other places people have complained about, driving neighbors crazy. So I appreciated that the city staff works with businesses and recruits businesses to come here. That's part of making Tucson vibrant, and we need more jobs. We welcome businesses that fit in well. In the last couple of years, we welcomed two battery companies, for instance, and batteries are an important part of the solar and electric vehicle economy. I'd like to see more businesses like that. So they were doing their jobs. On big things, they need to be a little more proactive. The timeline about release of information was very concerning, just because the company comes in and says, oh, we don't want people to know. It was very suspicious. You don't want us to know because you don't want us to object.
Yeah, it might be good to kind of reexamine this whole non-disclosure agreement deal.
Yeah.
Really, I know that over on the county side, Supervisor Jen Allen wants to take a real hard look at it. So I think
we should take a look at it.
Yeah.
It's pretty standard business operation. In
right.
some cases, we're competing with a company that is going to build one factory, and we want them, and several other places want them. And so the information, there's a competitive environment where mm-hmm. you don't want to share information. In this case, the money behind this is an asset management firm that has billions of dollars to invest in data and AI centers out of Chicago, Blue Owl, hence the name Project Blue. We were dealing with shell companies that are representing them, which would...
Was like Beale Infrastructure.
Beale Infrastructure. And
so you're saying there are these different layers.
There are different layers
that
to
protect
the money from liability, which was a big concern of mine. If something goes sour, the city, county would be stuck with the mm-hmm. remnants of it. They would mm-hmm. just go bankrupt. They would bankrupt the LLC. So... it wasn't competitive. They're doing this all over the country through other shell companies.
Mm-hmm.
And Beale itself is looking, I think, at three areas. This is a relatively new company. They don't have much of a track record because it was set up recently as a shell corporation.
Yeah, and they were even saying Pinal County, well, good luck with getting the water up there, right?
They have a lot of problems with water. Pinal County.
Let's take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. Again, tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview with Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays. Tim Steller from The Star will join me here in studio. Take a break. Kevin Dahl is here, Tucson City Councilman Ward 3, and we'll talk a little bit about bus fares right after this.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a very, very hot day in August, probably going to go into the record books as the hottest day in August ever recorded. Man, these plants are so stressed out. I mean, I try to keep things watered, Kevin Dahl, every morning at the Buckmaster household, but some of them just are not going to make it.
It's pretty hot out there. It makes me thirsty just listening to you talk about it, too.
I know. I think I'll take a little drink here in a second. And, of course, you know about these things because you used to be the Arizona representative of the National Conservation Association protecting Grand Canyon, Saguaro, Petrified Forest, other national parks, which are really not just under stress because of the climate here in Arizona, but the federal government is just...
The reduction of funding and the reduction of workforce at our national parks and public lands is a national disgrace. These are so beloved, and it's not a bipartisan issue. Everybody loves it. It's not just the natural areas, but it's our heritage and history that are contained in these places. Mm. And the measures that are being put in place to try to rewrite history at some of these historic sites is astounding.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting back to the election, and looks like you've narrowly won re-election to the Ward 3 seat, but the election isn't over, and I think this is a hybrid system, the way we elect here in Tucson. It might be very educational to talk about who can vote now in November.
Sure. People are confused by our system. Some municipalities don't even have a partisan election. Anybody can run. We do it by political party, and so we have a primary, and we just finished the primary on Tuesday. You run in the primary in your ward. So the votes for me were in Ward 3. Two other wards had primary elections because we have three at a time. Three wards this year, and 2 years, the other three wards will have their election. That's a nice staggered system. Mm-hmm. But then come general time, everybody can vote for all three wards. It throws
so
it up.
If you're
so
a registered city resident,
yes,
you can vote.
In any of the six wards, as long as you're registered to vote in the city of Tucson, and there's still time to register to vote for the upcoming November election. Mm-hmm. So it is a little confusing, and this happened, this was put in place decades and decades ago, and I think the thinking was, yes, the person represents their ward and should be to pay attention to the ward, but we also make decisions that affect the whole city. So we're kind of beholden to both. Mm-hmm. Other people have argued that it provides an advantage for one political party or the other, or one racial group or another, or some other minority group or majority group. and have we've put it on the ballot twice by initiative petitions, and it's been voted. Any change has been voted down twice. Mm. So it's in our charter, and it's how we do business. And I'm often explaining this hybrid system to people who have just moved here or haven't been paying attention.
And then the franchise agreement with TEP will not be on the ballot in November. Maybe it's a good thing for TEP after all the terrible publicity they have received over Project Blue.
We missed the deadline.
Oh, my goodness.
It was before the city council on the same day that they announced that they were doing going to apply for a 14% rate increase. So, yeah, it's going to be next year. And there's four dates that elections can happen in Tucson set by the state. It can be in March, May, August, or November. And so there's still enough time to be on any of those times next week. What's great, Bill, is that we've been negotiating with TEP on the wording of the franchise agreement and some site agreements. And we had a draft. We went through some public engagement. We got some really good suggestions. Pretty soon, maybe not next week, maybe the week after, that information will be made public, and we'll do some more public engagement so that people can learn what the plan is.
All right, we're speaking with Kevin Dahl. This is a question from one of our listeners. Would you ask Councilman Dahl about the Trump order against homeless people? This listener points out accurately, yesterday Steve Christie was on the show, and I asked him about it, and the county seems eager to enforce it, kind of from what we gathered from Supervisor Christie. What are some of your thoughts on that?
I'm strongly...
You were the sole vote against camping in the wash ordinance here in Tucson.
Yes, yeah. And there's some nuances on camping in the washes and parks. I'm not proposing that we camp in washes. I thought that there was enough ways to deal with camping in the wash that we shouldn't criminalize homelessness. People are homeless for so many different reasons, and I talked to so many people. I was homeless for a year. I needed a place to stay. Mm-hmm. So I'm practically opposed to every single executive order that President Trump is doing. Government by the king signing, you know, with his flagrantly up and down signature because he has this idea. Congress should be making these things, and we need help from Congress. Being unsheltered is a countrywide problem. We need support for the programs that are helping people find shelter. We need more low-barrier shelters. We need more affordable housing. And in fact, Tucson has a robust housing program that to date has been mostly federally funded, and that's great. And we've heard recently, there's a bill in Congress to continue that, by the way, and I hope that passes. So anything that Trump says we should be doing, I'm going to take with a pound of salt, not just a grain of salt.
Pound, huh?
We are putting resources into helping people get services they need to get off the street, but also to police and others to help deal with the businesses and residents that are facing the crime that's not really happening from homelessness. It's happening from the epidemic of fentanyl and by our inability to deal with people who have mental issues.
And some say those drug users are using the buses as kind of their vehicle toward their next, I don't know, crime or whatever.
I've ridden the bus and I've seen fentanyl users. I've sitting close to one. They're pretty harmless. People who have are dealing with mental issues are more scary to me. But safety in buses is important, and that's a separate issue from the bus fares. People try to put them together. Oh, it's so much better when we charge fares. That keeps the poor people that are causing the problems off the bus. It did not. The stats show that we had as much violence on buses before we did fare free, which we did because of COVID. Keep the system going to help people get to places because it was such a strange time. What we discovered is it increased ridership. And when we increase ridership, everybody benefits. It gets people in cars off the street so there's less traffic. But it helps students, working poor. It helps people who are on fixed incomes get to their medical appointments. And I believe a robust public transit system is so much helpful to our society that we should invest in that much like we invest in roads. The other thing that it's a great benefit, it's a tourism boon. I've been downtown where tourists were getting on the streetcar to go to some event at the university. And they said, "How do we have enough money?" And someone walking by said, "Oh, they're free." And they said, "Oh, that's great." So it's an amenity in so many different ways. At the same time, I've heard from bus operators and from others and from watching on television and videos on my social media, we need to protect the bus rider. We need to protect the bus operators. There's also problems at bus stops. We need to create the infrastructure and the policing. We need more police to do this so that bus stops are not a focal point for drugs and illegal activity.
The vote came up yesterday on the buses.
On the bus fares, yeah.
And what was it? 5-2?
5-2, not to reinstate the bus fares for this fiscal year. Mm-hmm. In our budget, we kept them in there. And we were talking about some other fees because we have to make up some revenues, and bus fares would be one way to do it. But we decided these other ways would be the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and your newsletter, how do people get it?
Find me at Ward 3, City of Tucson, Ward 3. We have a website, and you can sign up on that website or just look at old issues of it. It comes out every Friday.
Yeah, every Friday. You guys do a great job with that. It's very, very thorough.
Thank you.
About not only what's going on in your particular area, your ward, but really citywide. What
events,
kind of activities.
Issues. We try to highlight great businesses and great city employees.
And you try to get a
nonprofits.
Pet, try to get a companion animal, a loving home.
We have to help Steve Kosicek. Oh, yeah. Over there.
Yep, we do. All right, Kevin Dahl, we shall see how the final vote comes out, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, we've got the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. It's always fun talking with comet discoverer Dr. David Levy. He's coming up right after the break.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch The Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I think we're going to be over 100. My guest today, 113. I'm going to go out on a limb here because of the way, wow, somebody just posted 107, I think, already. So, wow. We'll get through it, but it is going to go down, I believe, as the hottest August day in recorded history here in Tucson. There will be quite a bit of activity when this is all over at Green Things. People are going to need replacement plants, and I think I'm going to be one of them in line for the replacement plants at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Some of these plants are just not going to make it in this kind of heat. Their 13-acre site is home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Come tour Green Things and their Zocalo Village, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Dr. David Levy, our contributor on science, is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. And David joins us now from his home/observatory in Vail, Arizona. Dr. Levy, how are you?
Hello there, and you can loosen your tie, Bill, today. It is a hot one, but I'm getting used to it, and I'm back here from our Adirondack Astronomy Retreat, and I'm glad to be home again.
How was the weather there?
We had 6 out of 7 usable nights. It was one of the most successful retreats we've had, except for all of the ones that Wendy was at. Mm-hmm. And about 3 seconds ago, I was getting ready for this interview, and I encountered a stuffed cat that Wendy gave me on our very first date. Wendy was, and when I talked with her over the phone, I reminded her of how when we were both almost babies, my mom and Wendy's mom had us play together, and so she decided on our first date to get me a stuffed cat. I still have it all these years later. And it's sitting right here, and, I'm crying.
Sure.
I was at the cemetery yesterday, but it's crying from joy.
Yes.
Of the wonderful, wonderful relationship I had with her over so many years.
Oh, she was terrific. Wendy was terrific. We miss Wendy. Yeah. Miss Wendy Levy a lot. Are we going to have to wait till next August to get a good look at Perseid meteors because of our friend the moon?
No, because that's started now. And at our retreat, I was able to see a few early Perseids.
Mm.
And on the night of the 11th, I will be outside, moon or no moon, enjoying Perseids. But next year, it'll be a new moon, a dark sky, and we should have a much better shower. But it's one of my favorite showers of the year.
These multiple impacts that we've read about that caused the mass extinction, I guess, of three out of four of all species of life on Earth. We're learning more, oddly enough, aren't we, about that?
Yeah, we are. It's very confusing. But I found out something the other day while actually casually going through Wikipedia. that I thought was really pretty shocking, and I've been delving into that lately. One of the theories that has come up is that the Chicxulub impact, which took place in the Gulf of Mexico, currently known as the Gulf of Mexico, was an impact of a comet or an asteroid approximately 10 kilometers in diameter, maybe 6 or 7 miles across. A huge impact. It left a crater over 200 miles wide.
Wow.
And is commonly believed to be the cause of the mass extinction of 75% of all the species of life here on Earth. Now, there's a theory that that might not have been the only impact. A crater has been discovered in the North Sea, north of England, that is dated to approximately the same time. A crater has been discovered off the coast of Western Africa that has been dated to approximately the same time. What if those craters' impacts happened at exactly the same time? Well, we're never going to know that because it was 66 million years ago.
Yeah.
And the internet wasn't working then. No.
That is like interesting. Right now. But that is interesting. And why not? Why not multiple, bombardment of the Earth? So multiple impacts could very well be.
It could very well be. And if that is the case, it means that the impact that I had a little bit to do with, the discovery of Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 that impacted on Jupiter, might have been a small reminder of what happened on Earth 66 million years ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to be writing about it in the next few days, and I'd like to tell you right now that I'd like to discuss it with you again next month.
We will. We will definitely do it. But right now it's time for the Dr. David Levy quote of the month on the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to quote from Ecclesiastes today. I've quoted from it before, but I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think it's just a lovely thought about how there's a season for everything. Of course, the birds made it into one of my favorite songs back in the 60s, and they called it Turn, Turn, Turn. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to end and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and most importantly, a time for war and a time for peace.
Covers it all, I think. Excellent. Thank you, David.
Thank you so much. I just love this sentiment.
Thank you very much. Dr. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. We'll catch up with Dr. Levy again next month. Try to have him on the first Thursday of every month. Take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. We'll be right back with Attorney Don Luce. He's next.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch the Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Just looking at that midday temperature over in Silver City, that's a nice day. About 90 degrees, 90, 91 degrees. Overnight lows coming up early next week down to 60 at night. And why? Well, the elevation. Anywhere from 5 to 7,000 feet in the Silver City area, and it really does make a difference. It's worth your while to jump in the car, the truck. I don't know about the motorcycle. It'd be a pretty hot ride over to Silver. But anyway, it's about 3 hours drive. Start your planning now. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Always look forward to our monthly visits with Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices. He has a beautiful office here in Tucson and also has offices up in the Valley of the Sun. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, always good to see you.
Great to see you, Bill.
And folks shouldn't be, you know, as people see that estate planning, they think, oh yeah, I'll put that off. Don't let that scare you. Rather than scare you, you'll have a great feeling when you get it done.
A feeling of accomplishment.
Yes.
So estate planning isn't just about wills and trusts. It's about healthcare directives and powers of attorney and all kinds of things that, you know, are real and affect people in everyday life.
Yeah. So check it out. Think about your estate. I wanted to carry this segment that we did last month over to this month because one of the things I enjoy in your monthly visits this time of year, we learn about the top 10 largest Arizona civil verdicts in 2024. And we covered a couple of them last month. I think we hit the top one, which was, wow, $140 million.
Can you believe? Right here in Arizona, $140 million.
Yeah, and the next one was like $80 million. But let's hit on some of these others. Before you even begin, though, is there some kind of a trend? Are they usually associated with medical areas?
No, in fact, quite the opposite. Covering a variety of things, really. The largest verdict was a class action case involving the Fair Credit Reporting Act. I mean, it's kind of obscure, but that's how things happen. In that case, as you pointed out, the verdict was $140 million. So statewide, there were $294 million in verdicts last year. In 2023, by comparison, there were 76 million. So it went from 76 million in 2023 to 294 million last year. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
So the plaintiffs in 53, the people bringing the lawsuits, the plaintiffs in 53% of the cases last year won. The defendants, in other words, the people being sued, won in 45% of the cases. And for your listeners who are doing the math, that's 98%.
Yeah.
The other 2%, there was no discernible winner or loser. But the plaintiffs won 53% of the time. The defendants won 45% of the time. So last year, it was better to be a plaintiff than a defendant because your chances of being happy with the verdict were better.
Yeah. What about post-verdict activity? Is this... these numbers, do they change dramatically in some cases?
They do. And let me explain what the most likely change is. Hmm. So punitive damages last year were awarded in, let me get that number, were awarded in the amount of, well, I don't have that number, but in the top 10 cases, there were four verdicts which included a punitive damages component. So punitive damages are damages that are assessed against a party to essentially punish that party for egregious conduct. And punitive damages are not part of what the plaintiff suffered by way of damages, but rather a statement that the jury is making saying, look, you know, Mr. Defendant or Mrs. Defendant, you engaged in such bad behavior that as a matter of policy, we're going to assess punitive damages against you, and you're going to have to pay, in addition to the damages that you caused the plaintiff, this amount of money to try to deter that type of conduct. In the largest case last year, the jury awarded $112 million in punitive damages. Now, the thing about that is, on appeal, the Court of Appeals might look at that and say that that's unreasonable. And yeah, punitive damages particularly are subject to modification during the appeal process. But coming out of the, you know, coming out of the jury, and all 10 of last year's largest awards were rendered by juries, not by judges, that was the raw number. The second largest punitive damage award last year was $22 million. So if you think about it, that's a lot of money to punish a party for wrongful conduct, right? Because that's not part of what the damages were that the plaintiff suffered.
Right.
So on appeal, those types of things are reviewed. And if the Court of Appeals determines that they're excessive or unreasonable, it has the power to reduce them.
So obviously an individual wouldn't have the kind of money to meet these fees or whatever, these verdicts. So how does that work, Don Luce?
So, yes, you're right. So with regard to large corporations, that's not a concern that claimants have, because of course the corporations typically have deep pockets,
right.
And you know, it doesn't matter. The largest case last year, which was for $140 million, was brought against CenturyLink. So, you know, I don't think there's a concern that CenturyLink is not going to be able to pay a verdict, even though it's huge, you know, because they're a large corporation. But the mom and pop defendants, you know, the people who don't have a lot, hopefully they have insurance. But again, you're not typically going to find an insurance company issuing a policy for $10 million to an individual. So, you know, so to the extent that those awards exceed the limit of the insurance policy, they may be uncollectible. But, you know, nonetheless, these awards speak a lot about what the juries are doing with regard to compensating
sure.
people who have been injured.
Sure. You want to hit on a couple more here in the remaining few minutes?
I do.
Okay.
So we talked about the two largest during our last segment. The third largest involved actually someone who was a Shark Tank contestant. So there you go. So this case was Top Brand versus Cozy Comfort, right? And Cozy Comfort had appeared on Shark Tank.
Cozy Comfort.
And had received an investment from that show. So anyway, the claims were over patent and trademark infringement. The plaintiffs contended that the defendants, who, as I mentioned, had appeared on Shark Tank, violated, well, there's a dispute regarding design and utility patents, trademarks, and trade dress and wearable garments, allegedly held by the defendants. The plaintiffs claimed that the defendants' purported intellectual property was invalid, or in the alternative, they did not infringe the intellectual property rights of the defendants.
Hmm.
The plaintiffs claimed that the defendants were asserting intellectual property rights in the wearable garments they did not have in order to unfairly compete with the plaintiffs. Okay, so kind of dry, right?
Yeah.
Talking about intellectual property.
Right.
It gets better because after trial, the jury awarded the defendants. Now, again, these are the people being sued.
Right.
$18 million. And they awarded the plaintiffs $596,000. So in that case, the plaintiffs probably made a tactical error by bringing a lawsuit.
I guess so.
Because when they left the courthouse,
they sure regretted their day in court, didn't they?
They were about $18 million poorer than when they arrived.
That is so interesting.
So the fourth largest case, I know it is.
Real quickly, Don.
It is. Was for $6 million. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a personal injury case. The plaintiffs were suing the defendants and the defendant's employer relating to an auto accident, typical rear end. The defendants did not dispute that the driver caused the collision, but they did dispute the nature and extent of the damages. Okay, so the jury's told, we don't dispute that we caused it, but we don't believe that the plaintiff's claim is worth what they're saying it's worth. I think the jury probably disagreed because they awarded the plaintiff $6 million in damages against the defendants.
Oh, my goodness.
Time for one more really quick.
Really? You'd have to do it in about 15 seconds.
Okay. Lawsuit against the city of Scottsdale for wrongful termination. So a lawyer was fired, claimed that the firing was wrongful. Jury heard the evidence. Awarded $1,400,000 for wrongful termination and $3.85 million on a defamation claim.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Don Luce. Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
You next month.
Okay.
All right. On behalf of Don Luce and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster wishing everybody well.